Thank you so much. Time for another gripping adventure in the Replicate series. Are you ready? First the video. So this is our saga that's continuing. We launched about 3 or 4 weeks ago with this understanding that we are responsible to engage with someone who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus by preaching at them and hitting them on the head with a Bible. Do you remember we told you to do that as a first step? Take your Bible, smack them upside the head. Do you remember? Because I kind of don't remember that being said. I remember Genevieve launching us. Welcome back from Dove's, Genevieve. Looking as gorgeous as ever, if not more. Round of applause for Genevieve. Welcome back. She taught us that we need to begin not even by addressing the individual. It's not like coming to Duncan saying, Duncan, there's a message for you, but quietly and secretly over here with him on the side, I'm going to actually start praying for him. And I'm going to pray with passion. I'm going to bring him before God every night. Lord, would you do something in Duncan's heart? Duncan needs you. Would you do something? Then Debbie took over and said, now there's another step in our saga. We need to pick up a Bible and smack Duncan on his head. Do you remember she taught us that? No, actually, I don't think that was in that week yet. Maybe the Bible smacking's coming later. I don't know. But she taught us that I need to do things for him by first opening my eyes, my ears, and using my hands to touch his life in a meaningful way. Maybe I'm like, hey, Duncan, it's break time just now after maths. Ooh, that maths is heavy, hey? Did you understand any of that, Duncan? Like me, neither, dude. Let's go get some Coke. Maybe the caffeine and the Coke will help us. Come with me. So I'm starting to serve him. Hey, do you need a lift home? Hey, can I help you with your homework? I'm starting to pursue him with love. Thirdly, today I'm going to teach you. Okay, let's revise again. So pray with passion. We learned a wonderful way of praying. P-R-A-Y-S. And we've been using that online in the week. We've been using that in our own lives, in our leaders' meeting, and we pray through those four ways. Many of us are meeting every night of the week, and it's a two-week anniversary today since we began to have a prayer date with God at 8. And that was launched by Genevieve 2 Sundays ago. And we've been there, believe it or not, every night. Pursue with love, because I'm moving towards him with love. There's what we learned. Speak his love language last week. This is the value and the power of our Facebook group. Because if you like it, not just like that photo of you, but like the actual page, you'll get reminded when the material goes up and you can download it. So if you missed that and you want to like, whoa, I want to know what those are, hey, it's on the page and it's all linked from the main page, right? And this week, we are going to talk about the third step, which is smacking them on the head with the Bible. Or not. Definitely not. Can I say it's not? Okay, definitely not, right? What is it about? Well, you've all heard of the Clone Wars, but what you probably haven't heard about is the newest release that I'm releasing this week called Table Wars. The His Youth Table Wars. It's a war where you have to work together as a table to persuade members of other tables to join your table. Your job, you guys, is to persuade maybe some of these guys that your table is the best table because it is incredible. And the winner, ladies and gentlemen, will be that table around which are standing or sitting the most number of teenagers or adult leaders that you could even begin to count. And wait until it is revealed the prize, the grand prize that winning table in the first ever His Youth Table Wars. Give it up, people. Now, to help you strategize, because you're going to get 2 minutes to strategize, I'm going to show you a little video, a little drawing, called The Science of Persuasion. If you get one or two principles out, it sounds really complex at first sight, but this is the smartest bunch of teenagers in Gauteng right now in this room. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. So watch the science of persuasion. There's six principles. They sound scary at first, but they are going to be so helpful, they could just make you win. The which, the second, no, the first ever. You will be the king of the tables. The science of persuasion up next after this ad break. Please floss. Please use Colgate. And now the movie.
Increasingly overloaded lives we lead, more than ever, we need shortcuts or rules of thumb to guide our decision making. My own research has identified just six of these shortcuts as universals that guide human behavior. They are reciprocity, scarcity, authority, consistency, liking, and consensus. Understanding these shortcuts and employing them in an ethical manner can significantly increase the chances that someone will be persuaded by your request.
So, the first universal principle of influence is reciprocity. Simply put, people are obliged to give back to others the form of behavior, gift, or service that they have received first. If a friend invites you to their party, there's an obligation for you to invite them to a future party you are hosting. If a colleague does you a favor, then you owe that colleague a favor. And in the context of a social obligation, people are more likely to say yes to those that they owe.
It's not enough simply to tell people about the benefits they'll gain if they choose your products and services. You'll also need to point out what is unique about your proposition and what they stand to lose if they fail to consider your proposal.
Our third principle of influence is the principle of authority, the idea that people follow the lead of credible, knowledgeable experts. People are more likely to give change for a parking meter to a complete stranger if that requester wears a uniform rather than casual clothes.
The next principle is consistency. People like to be consistent with the things they have previously said or done. Consistency is activated by looking for and asking for small initial commitments that can be made.
The fifth principle is the principle of liking. People prefer to say yes to those that they like. But what causes one person to like another? Persuasion science tells us that there are three important factors. We like people who are similar to us, we like people who pay us compliments, and we like people who cooperate with us towards mutual goals. Before you begin negotiating, exchange some personal information with each other. Identify a similarity you share in common, then begin negotiating.
The final principle is consensus. Especially when they are uncertain, people will look to the actions and behaviors of others to determine their own.
So there we have it, six scientifically validated principles of persuasion that provide for small, practical, often costless changes that can lead to big differences in your ability to influence and persuade others in an entirely ethical way.
Some interesting insights there, okay? So you have exactly 2 minutes to prepare as a table your strategy for persuading. Your 2 minutes starts now. Go. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Your 2 minutes to strategize or to actually persuade starts now. 2 minutes to now go and persuade. You can stay where you are, whatever your strategy is. Try and get as many people to join your table in the next 2 minutes. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Back to your seats, wherever your seats are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 7. Not 8, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We've got a tie so far. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10. This table is the winning team until I count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13! It is time for the prize to be awarded. I want you all to stand to your feet and give a tremendous round of applause for the winning team. Well done, the winning team. You are the mighty winning team. From now on until eternity, people will remember the first ever winning table of the Table Wars. Well done. Let's have someone from your table come and tell me what your strategy is. I want to know from this table, a very close second, mind you, how they went around. What did they do? Lesecha, what did you do that was obviously so effective? Well done. May I just say, well done on behalf of your team. May you forever gloat in your glory. What did you do? What was the strategy, young lady?
Well, you offered free massages.
Free massages.
Free airtime.
Free airtime.
Chocolates.
Chocolates.
Free clothes.
Free clothes.
Oh, and gymming lessons.
And gymming lessons. I want to hear from someone who joined that group. Are you expecting to get all those things? If you don't get those things, what will you do going forward? Will you stay in that table? I don't think so. Am I right? I would like, you overpromised and you underdelivered, and I'm going to leave. I want to hear, because I'm starting to think we might have to rethink whether it's just the winning team with numbers, but let's hear first. Let's hear first.
So our group over here had a cup of biscuits, and we actually gave the people the biscuits we promised.
You gave people biscuits!
And not only did we give biscuits to people in our team, we even gave biscuits to people in other teams. We are a generous table. And this table that we now have, not only are we friends for this service, but we are everlasting friends. Am I right? Am I right? So, if you feel free, if you really want to join our table, there's still biscuits in the cup. And there is still friendship in our hearts. Feel free to join.
I have conferred with the judges. The judges and I have been in deep engagement. And we have decided unanimously that it's still the numbers, but you have a one last chance to cross the floor to the table of your choice in 30 seconds. 30, 29, 28. 27, 26, 25, 24, 23, 22, 21, 20, 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Pause. Pause. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, not meningi, not meningi. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 1,000. This is the winning team! So you can take your seats again, or you can stay with your new family forever. Well done, everybody. Now, I know that was a bit crazy and silly, but it is what happens in life, isn't it? We do try and pull people onto our teams. Like, there's some really good soccer players here, you know, Duncan and others. And they have. And Mdu, not as much. But they want to bring the best people onto their team. I saw a lot of forcing going on. And I saw that the forcing wasn't really successful in the final analysis. There had to be more a drawing out of your warmth, your character, you know? And of course, this is just an example, but when you draw people, not try and push people, they're more likely to join your side and stay long term, I believe. And when you draw them in, I mean, the way you articulated your strategy, young lady, I mean, that was deep. Lesejo, you had a strategy, but you overpromised and you couldn't deliver. You promised a free house for everybody and a car and a bucky. You shouldn't have offered the bucky. The bucky was one step too much. The bucky, the 4x4 twin cab. You should have offered something cheaper, okay? But we are. Now, it actually happened in the village where I grew up, and there was this guy, Paul. He was a bit of a murdering guy. He used to kill people. And he was summoned before the king once. Now, this is KwaZulu-Natal. So you need to know that coming down to meet the king, he was nervous. And the king, whose name was Agrippa, he said to Paul, "Paul, tell me about your life." Because the king, the judge, wants to find out. And what happens in this trial where I grew up, he begins by explaining his story. "Judge, you need to know, king, this is what happened to me. I used to be a murdering guy. I used to kill Christians. I used to find creative ways to kill them. But one day, I was on my way to Damascus on my horse, my favorite horse of all. And that horse jumped up suddenly because a light shone from heaven. And I fell off my horse." It's a very embarrassing thing to fall off a horse. You need to know that. If you're trying to lead a movement, you mustn't fall off your horse. You don't remember, but way back in our political history, there was a really stupid guy who was full of hate. And he was just full of himself. And he rode in on his horse, and the horse slipped, and he fell on his bum. I think that was the start of the downfall of the AVB, the Afrikaner Weerstandsbrigade, if I even get my history right. Beweging. And it fell with that horse, fell the racists. Well, a segment of the racists. Okay, more had to fall later. Here's what happened. When that fall happened, Paul looked up, saw Jesus, and gave his heart to him. Turned from those wicked ways, and now began the last part of his story. "Since then, I've gone around doing good, proclaiming that Jesus is Lord, that he died. In fact, you killed him, king, but he came back to life again." And there was a silence in that moment. And Paul went one step too far, some might say. He said, "And what about you, king?" Ooh. This was the day in that village where I was there when the king would just go off with his head and heads would roll. The king said to Paul, "Do you think that in such a short period of time you can persuade me to join your table in the table wars? No ways. I need more time. Do you think you can persuade me?" What did Paul say? "Whether quickly or not, whether now or next month, I pray to God that both you and everyone here in this royal chamber will become the same as I am." In other words, a follower of Jesus, except for these chains. He said, "I want you to come to know Jesus, but not necessarily go to jail for it." His goal was to persuade Agrippa to become a Christian. Guess what? That's actually our goal, to persuade our friends to follow Jesus. Now, when I look it up in the dictionary, I find that this is what the word persuade means: to move by argument, to belief, to a position, or to an action. It's to get people to move. Your action here was to get people to get up from their comfortable seat with their friends and move to another table. And it was a challenge, right? But you were persuading, urging. Did arguments take place? Did you present an argument? Not in the negative sense of like a quarrel, but did you state an argument, some of you? "This is why our table is best. Come along to our table, and there are chocolate biscuits." My gosh, that would persuade me to action. Forget that. "Sorry, brothers, I'm over here. You want me? Pull me." just a call away, okay? Because I want the biscuits. I am being moved along by an argument, and there comes a time to plead, please join my team. It's an awesome team. Sushi B, it's the team of all teams. Come on, buddy. Come on. Because I care about him, and I want him in my team. I saw some of this happening, mostly from that table, bullying this table. That's not what we're talking about, people. Okay, don't make me come back there. That's not persuading. That's coercion. That's forcing, trying to push the guard, kicking and screaming. The moment he gets a chance, what's he going to do? He's going to run back to his own table. He's like, I've escaped. Woohoo. I'm not at Shayla's chocolate. Why would you run away from a chocolate biscuit table? But anyway, maybe the biscuits run out at some point. When we pray with passion, when we pursue with love, and we finally persuade with truth, it won't be manipulation or coercion. Because I care. I'm in touch with God. His Spirit is working through me to love you into the kingdom. Drawing, not pushing. Not kicking you off the cliff and praying for healing at the bottom and pronouncing you a Christian. In AD 300, 300 years after Jesus, another horse story, this ruler, Constantine, he marched his regiments, his Roman soldiers, through a river and proclaimed them Christian because they were baptized in the water. That was the start of the decline of the church, I think, for a long period of time. Because he forced them to proclaim themselves Christians. And they probably went on pillaging and raping the next week. They weren't, their hearts hadn't been changed. They hadn't given their lives to Jesus. You can't force. Now, slow down, Mark. Take a seat. Take a chill. We live in a tolerant world. We are taught to honor everyone of different beliefs. And yes, amen, we are. And you might say, I feel like I have no right to speak up. But we are ambassadors. Jesus has made us his ambassadors. And I get that, for example, from 2 Corinthians 5. We are Christ's ambassadors. It's not very vague, hey? It's like, dude, you're an ambassador for Jesus. You're my ambassador. Like if you're the ambassador of the United States living in Joburg, you need to speak up when stuff happens. We are Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. And so we implore you. Do you use that word ever? Have you come across it in English? It's not a very common word. Shakespeare maybe. In a good literary book, someone would say, I implore you, brothers and sisters, you know, let's work together. Let's change the future. Let's stamp out this. Let's do this. Let's go. And it's that pleading and calling so that you can be reconciled to God. Imagine for a moment that you are desperately in love and you've done something really bad and you really need to do something about it. You're really in love. Would you just say like, well, I'll find another one. There's plenty more fish in the sea. Now, I'm not talking about the person who's been offended. I'm talking about, let's say, the guy who's done wrong to her. And he really loves her, but he's offended her, and she doesn't want to speak to him. What would he say? That doesn't matter. No, he really cares about her. It's his time to grovel. It's his time to buy the gifts, to wine and dine from. He needs to start praying and then pursuing with love and then finally persuading. I've changed. I'm in bad habits, anonymous, and I go to the meetings every Monday night, and I'll never do that again. He will implore. He will kneel and grovel or do whatever it takes. She should probably run a mile, but that's just something on the side. But anyway, how do we persuade with truth? Well, I feel like I'm a bit muzzled today because we're going to spend the next 6 weeks talking about how to persuade. So I'm intentionally not going far today because next week we're going to learn how to start a conversation. How do we actually start a conversation with my friend after I've been praying for them and pursuing with love? How do I do that? What is this gospel? Mark, if someone asked me, like, why do I need to be saved? What do I say? How do I share the gospel in a way that isn't coercion or manipulation or arrogant? How do I ask people questions if they say, whoa, that's awesome. I've never heard that before. How do I become a follower of Jesus? You're like, oh, I don't know. I'm going to phone my pastor quickly. No, we'll teach you how to do that. And then Mario's going to come in and on one Sunday morning teach you how to engage with whatever religion and worldview the person is, whether they are atheistic, agnostic, moral deist, whether they're Hindu, Muslim, anything, even if they come from Durban. He will teach you how to persuade, okay? Unlock some secrets. And obviously, it's a huge ask. But how do you engage? So there's no rush today to go too far, but maybe a reminder or two as we do this, that it's urgent because our friends are drowning. That's where we started first week. We actually heard from an atheist guy, and he's still a very firm, strong atheist, Penn Jillette, and he said, how much do we have to hate someone to not tell them about hell if we believe that hell is true and real? And it like smacked us on our heads almost. This is someone who doesn't believe saying that hell is real and it has, or if it is, and it has eternal consequences. Are we warning someone? The worst picture you'll ever see at youth, because eternal realities are real and they are unfortunately eternal. I want to be on that top speaking to those two or three people. I want to be the one grabbing that girl's hand and saying, no, come. I want to be the one saying, don't go that way. Don't go that way. Come back, back, back. There's a cliff there. Don't move forward. And let's stop as many people as possible going to hell. Do you know that Bear Grylls? This is part of his mission. You know that big adventure guy? I don't know if you've YouTubed Bear Grylls at all. He's not just wild about adventure. He's passionate about his faith. You see, people can only choose heaven or hell before they die. I don't want to be disrespectful, but if you're ever at a funeral, it's too late. You can't go up to the coffin and do anything. It's too late. Our neighbors, we tried everything. We journeyed with them. I mowed their front lawn every week, and we built a fantastic relationship with them. We served them with love. When I asked to pray for Uncle Barry, he said no time and time again as I watched him waste away with cancer. He passed on. I pray that on his deathbed, which happens often, he turned to God and said, Lord, save me, because you knew the truth by the end. And Auntie Anne, we're not sure. Some people won't. We only have this side of eternity. There's no such thing as prayers for the dead. I wish there was. I wish there was. There's family members that I would be praying for. But the Bible doesn't seem. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment in the book of Hebrews. It's sobering, isn't it? I wish I didn't have to say this morning. It's like, that's why I need to do this. I need to pray. I need to pursue. And I need to persuade. And when I persuade, and this is all I'm leaving with you today in a few minutes, we need to do the ABCs. We need to help them accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's the first thing that's going to happen somewhere in that, but we'll teach you how to do this. Secondly, we need to teach them the importance and the value of belonging to a church. I don't think we can do this alone. Many of you, Abba and others, are on a prayer night, every night at 8, and we are engaging and like praying, and that community is so incredible. It's pulling us toward God, right? Because we need each other. We're not islands. We need to be, and I'm preaching to the choir because here you are faithfully on a Sunday morning. And then we need to help them commit to the cause, because there's a cause of following Jesus and fulfilling his great commission, which says, Duncan, now that you've come to know Christ, you need to go and make disciples, and you need to help those be disciples who make disciples. Now, let's imagine that it's been a few weeks and I've been engaging with my friend Duncan over here. And I come across and I touch him and he stands up and I say, whoa, welcome to God's family. And I lead him to Jesus. And it's a phenomenal thing that happens, right? You're now a child of God. So You say, oh, no, don't sit. You need to stand. Stand strong, brother. Don't let the evil one take you. And I come over and I say, young lady, Abba Father loves you. He's got a special place in his heart. He's invited you. Would you like to receive Jesus? She says, yes, of course I do. And she stands. Jesus really loves you. Hang on strong, bro, because I have to go over here. I'm on the mission. Okay. And stay strong, eh? Prayer group at 8. You stand because Jesus loves you. And would you like to receive him? Wow. I mean, I am getting like really tired, you know? I think I've got maybe, and this is now 3 months later. Would you come to know Jesus as well and stand? I have touched 4 people. Give me a round of applause. I'm an evangelist. I am a professional evangelist. I got to run back over here and say, oh, Duncan, stand strong, bro, because Jesus still loves you and don't give up. Your job is just to stand and look pretty. Okay. Just, oh, I've been over there. He's needing so much care. I'm sorry I haven't checked in with you for a long time. Won't you 4 be seated? You know what? I'm sure there's another way. I've been adding people into the kingdom. I wonder, I was at maths this week and they taught us there was like an X thing. I'm going to try another strategy, another method. Duncan, bro, Jesus loves you. Won't you? You're part of the kingdom now. But you know what? He hasn't only called you to stand and look pretty. And you are pretty, bro. Pretty awesome. But God has called you to go and reach someone else. I want you to leave the comfort of your table, which came so badly lost. I want you to move to another table. And I want you to go and lead someone else to Christ. Just touch them on the shoulder. Get them to stand. But before you leave them, remind them that they are called to make disciples who make disciples. Tell them to go do that to someone else and to keep doing. And brother, don't get tired in doing it yourself. You need to keep going. Once you release them into the harvest field, you need. Now notice it's taken me a little bit longer with my brother here. It was just in pause, unpause. Go, brother, bro, sister. You are being called to lead others to Jesus. Why don't you go and touch someone, help them come to know Jesus? Because not only did this, you've received this gift, but you can receive his gift. So go lead someone else and make sure that they lead someone else and so on and so forth, okay? But it's urgent, eh? Because it's eternal matters and eternal realities. My sister. Jesus loves you. Yes, even you. Won't you go out into his kingdom and touch lives and keep doing it? Brothers, don't get tired of doing good. Go touch someone else. Come on, Duncan, move to another table. You can do it, buddy. You can do it. Come on, guys. You can lead people to Jesus and keep doing it, everybody. Keep doing it. You can touch so many lives because I'm quite tired. I've already touched 3. And I'm starting to watch a bit of a movement start to happen here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. What a movement. What a movement happening. Okay, pause. You may return to your seats. How many people did I touch? 3. Look at what's happened. My addition is not going to work, people. If you're just relying on Nomalanga and Debbie and Genevieve and Mario to do it all, it's going to take a long time. But if you guys go and you multiply yourselves into disciples in your school, Peter, I'm not at your school, but you're there. You can do this, buddy. You can do it. It's a lot more than just touching and go, of course, and that's what we're going to learn in the coming weeks. So here's what you got in the last minute. Keep your prayer date this week at 8. Join us on that group. If you're not there, you want to be there, leave your number with us. I promise you it's amazing. It's always different. All we did last night is we just prayed the alphabet, praise. A, we said, okay, say one word about God starting with an A, and it went on a while. We did B, C, D. We even did X, and that was hard. That was extremely hard, and we cheated a little bit. You know what I mean? So be part of that. Pray for your 3 lost friends on your list. Debbie's going to wave some of those forms. If you're new along the journey, she's going to hand you out. I think there's a few at the back. You're going to pursue them with love, look to do loving things, persuade them with truth, and then post on Testimony Thursday. 4 testimonies posted last week, 4 more than the previous week. So we could go to 16 this week. Any testimony of anything on that circle of either praying, pursuing, or persuading. Don't be sharp, peeps. Stick it out there, and God will bless it. Okay? If you need one of those forms, Debs is going to give it. And there's that clipboard if you want to put your name on that for the group. It's awesome. We're going to pray together. Lord, we pray that you would help us be faithful to what you've called us to do, to pursue our friends, and to learn in the coming weeks. And even now, Lord, we've been around the block a while. We know kind of what it means to persuade people to share about who you are and what you've done for us. So, Lord, we pray that you would help us in this journey. Help us not get frustrated. Help us not be fearful. Help us not to be arrogant or try and force people into the kingdom. But help us, God, to know that you are the one that reaches out and saves. You are already drawing people to yourself. And when we use our eyes and ears, and then our hands, we'll be able to reach out to people that are looking for an answer and a way back to you. So we commit ourselves into your hands. We pray that you would encourage us along the way. Pray that our prayer times would be awesome, that we will indeed have a testimony to share and word posted in the week and glorify you with what you're doing in and through us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So next week, we'll start a conversation. It's going to be really amazing. Well done again to the winners. You can share the glory of the first ever Table Wars. Go well. Have a fantastic week. There's those replicate circle cards. Grab one if you don't have one there. Put your friends' names on them. And also put your name if you want to be part of the prayer. God bless you all.